This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, They shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a front, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. The U.S. president continues to speak of the ethnic cleansing of a sacred sliver of Palestine, the complete and completely illegal dispossession of Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. And sadly enough, it will not be the first time that Gaza's indigenous population will be fighting for survival and for the right to preserve the right to hold on to their homeland. Today, Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said Palestinians are going nowhere and will be the ones rebuilding, governing, and residing in Gaza after the Israeli-U.S. campaign of genocide and its consequence of ceasefire are finally over. The challenges of Palestinian resistance versus U.S.-Israeli occupation of a few brave men and women against the most lethal war machine in history of good against evil is a topic of today's Spotlight.
The fifth round of the abductee captive exchange between the Palestinian resistance group Hamas and the Israeli regime has been concluded. Hamas released three Israeli captives. In return, Israel freed 183 Palestinian prisoners. The swap has underscored the resilience and strategic prowess of Hamas in both managing the exchange itself and forcing its will upon the regime. Prior to the handover, Hamas fighters paraded through the streets of Gaza, showcasing their strength and unity. The display was a powerful statement emphasizing that the Palestinian resistance remains a formidable force. The movement says the exchange carries a clear message that resistance will determine post-war conditions in Gaza and not any other foreign power. For more than 15 months, the Israeli regime and its allies have been laying out different plans for post-war Gaza. This includes Netanyahu's announcement last year in which he called for indefinite Israeli military control and buffer zones in the territory. The latest plan came this week from U.S. President Donald Trump. He said U.S. would take over and own Gaza after resettling Palestinians elsewhere. The shocking plan caused outrage among the international community, with many calling it delusional. Analysts argue that the plan lacks any real connection to the on-the-ground reality and mirrors forced removals and apartheid policies. They say Washington is by no means a neutral party to the war, but rather the biggest supporter of the regime. Tens of billions of dollars of weapons have been sent to the regime since October 2023, the latest of which was announced on Friday, worth $4.4 billion. Washington also provided diplomatic cover at the UN for Tel Aviv, vetoing anti-Israeli resolutions. But with all this support, the Israeli regime failed to achieve any of its goals during 15 months of genocide. It did not manage to release captives by force, and it could not occupy Gaza, and was forced to retreat after the ceasefire deal. Hamas is also stronger than ever. U.S. intelligence services say the resistance group has recruited up to 15,000 people since October 2023. And with the release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners every week, the group has become more popular than ever. Now, with the ceasefire in effect, the group says only Palestinians decide their future. The banners Hamas had put up on the stage where the three Israeli captives stood on Saturday says it all. We are the flood, we are the wars next day.
And now for our guests. We have joining us Mr. Saeed Shaf, author and commentator, joining us from Belfast. And Christopher Halali, researcher and political analyst, joining us from Verchar, Vermont.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome both of you to the program. Hope you're both doing well. Mr. Saeed Shaf, we're going to start with you. Donald Trump says the U.S. will take over Gaza, will take Gaza for itself. Hamas and almost all the world leaders and all international organizations have said, no, the U.S. will do no such thing. How do you see things unfolding, moving forward now, especially with Palestinians now seeing nearly 800 prisoners of conscience freed from Israeli occupation, captivity, many of them key figures of resistance?
Let's tackle Trump. Today at a conference, I was asked the question, can Trump displace the Palestinians from Gaza? And we know this according to the Genocide Convention. Any acts aimed at the total or partial destruction of an ethnic or religious people or group are considered genocide. So my answer was what Trump can do. Can he remove the people from Gaza? I said he can, definitely can. Turning want to turn the issue from an Israeli military genocide in Gaza into discussion about where will the Palestinians go, as if there is a transfer of the Palestinian is inevitable. And the only this agreement about the issue, what is the destination? Is it Morocco or Egypt or Jordan or all? The strategy, this what Trump is using, is presenting illegal and bizarre ideas. And they become, by his keep repeating, they repeated that three times, become familiar and therefore become less shocking, at least to the media, to deal with it and to put it in the table and become this something which is not acceptable. Nobody can even think of, suddenly it's on the table. You'll deal with it. While focusing on Gaza, he wanted to just send Netanyahu to go home, the one who was bragging about the total victory. He didn't achieve any victory against the Palestinians. So Trump does that to serve himself and to serve Netanyahu. He wants to send his man in West Asia as a strong and victorious by this talk, so he can rebuild his coalition again, bring in Ben-Gvir and make it stronger. And at the same time, despite what he's saying, he can, with the Mexico, with the Panama, with the Greenland, with the China, with Canada, with all of these shooting loose cannon, he can create a lot of noise, cover up his own billionaire club, taking over the United States of America's institutes and establishment, robbing the United States of America in a daylight. That's what Musk and the rest of them doing. Closing down this agency, taking over this security apparatus, and they are practically covering up what they're doing in the United States of America. This is a huge corruption. And despite what Trump was saying and or his remarks, again, today's prisoner release in the middle of Gaza, in Deir el-Balah, was showing this area still intact and is still habitable and is still lots of people in it. It says to Trump and to all the Europeans behind them, even Biden was thinking of that, and Biden was pressurizing the Egyptians and Jordanians about that. The resistance today told everyone, the Palestinians can move to the middle areas, can move to Khan Yunis, can move to such areas till we rebuild the north of Gaza or parts of Gaza. Even in Gaza City, there is areas can livable and the people can. So this is the message. You could have seen a real preserved area today in the middle of Gaza. Population can live in it. So this is can say again, we are the ones who are going to take control of the Gaza Strip. It's the government of the resistance in there. Even saying the last point, in China, in Beijing, with the unity discussion between the Palestinian parties, the resistance said they don't want even to talk to the PA. They want everybody to take part in running the affairs of Gaza. They don't want themselves, anybody imposing them. They have to be with the consent of all the parties in Gaza. They never wanted to run it alone, the resistance. Wanted all the parties. This is why they're going to bring a technocrat to run the Gaza Strip.
Thank you for your initial thoughts there, Mr. Schoth. And Christopher Halali from Vermont, thank you for your patience and welcome to our conversation here. Now, Christopher, today Hamas said the release of Palestinian prisoners is a clear message that the resistance will determine post-war conditions in Gaza and not any other foreign power. Christopher, how does freed Palestinian prisoners at this point help fortify and galvanize Gazans' position against this attempted U.S. takeover?
Listen, beyond what we've seen in terms of this past over 15 months of genocide, we have seen the Palestinian resistance in all of its forms, in all of its shapes, as victorious at this point. Because prior to October 7th, it was impossible, nearly impossible, to have a prisoner exchange of this sort and to have freed Palestinian prisoners. Now we see that indeed it is correct what Hamas is saying, that they control not only the narrative, but the power plays here. That through this ceasefire negotiation, they have been able to secure the release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners illegally in dungeons of the Zionist entity, and now that they can go home to their families. Of course, it's clear that in these over 15 months, of ongoing genocide and brutal bombardment of the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian resistance has only grown stronger, not weaker. And in fact, the Zionist army was unable to achieve anything that it set out to do in Gaza. They were not able to destroy Hamas, and they were not able to force Hamas on their own terms. But in fact, their soldiers fell, they were ill-prepared, and they continued to be hit in guerrilla-style tactics. So it's clear for everyone that Hamas not only has the capabilities to carry out a long-scale insurgency that will give the Zionist state their Vietnam, but ultimately the same can happen to the United States if the United States tries to carry out this so-called plan by President Trump. in either situation, the Palestinian people in Gaza will not go anywhere, and they will continue to defend their land. And that is why they have achieved tremendous victory in this situation, because they still have all of the keys in terms of the negotiating power here. They still have prisoners and hostages. They still have the military supremacy on the ground, and they still have the resilience to not give up the fight for their land, for their freedom, and ultimately for their rights.
Thank you, Christopher. And Christopher's words, Mr. Shath, were almost verbatim today what leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said with some Hamas council leaders, noting the resistance has defeated not only the Zionists, but also the U.S., preventing them from achieving any of their objectives. And now with Donald Trump's threat, I want to put this question to you. Objective is no longer to wipe out Gaza's resistance. It's to wipe out Gaza altogether. And the funny thing is that you read some, depending on which outlet you try to get the information from, they're putting Hamas members anywhere between 18 to 30,000 members right now. But my question to you, once the U.S. tries to carry out this plan, how many people in Gaza do you think will join the resistance? How do you see the resistance mushrooming? I see over 2 million people standing up to this so-called extermination plan.
Every single Palestinian who returned walking from the south of Gaza Strip, the city of Khan Yunis, or from parts of the area in the middle, Deir al-Balah, to the north of Gaza City and the north of the Gaza Strip, in Beit Lahia, Jabalia refugee camp, and Beit Hanun. These areas, when we seen the footage from there, is totally annihilated, totally destroyed. The people start putting tents and living on top of the rubble. With the weather, extreme weather conditions hitting the Palestine today, you see massive rains fall and cold weather. Destroyed all the, even the small tents or the small makeshift camps they tried to build in there. But the people insisting they're going to stay there. This kind of people and this kind of attachment to a homeland, the real owner of this land, the one who dearly loves their cities and towns and even the rebels of their homes, these people are totally behind the resistance. This is the real incubators of the Palestinian resistance. And this thing is not from today. This is came from the time the British Empire were occupying Palestine. We see the British Empire waged three wars in Gaza. The first and the second war, you see the cemetery of Gaza, they call it the British cemetery. Over 4,000 or 5,000 British officers buried in it. The third war they won because of the cheat and the deceit, and they went and took over Palestine. Since then, the Palestinians are on the move resisting them, and the resistance of the Palestinians from day one till today had the people behind it. Those people adamant they are not going to leave. In 1948, the exit of the cleansing of the Palestinians was done by the British and the Israelis, and some conspiracy and hands from the Arab regimes at the time, telling the Palestinians it's going to take only 1 week till we clear these Zionist thugs, and then you can return to your cities. They understood today the message which they heard in 1948, so they are not listening to anyone about leaving even a piece of a brick or a stone in behind without them protecting it. So they all will be behind the resistance. Everyone moved to the north of Gaza with the resistance. Most of the people you can see in mass in Khan Yunis or in the destroyed city of Khan Yunis, they will tell you they will defend to the last drop of blood they got the resistance, because this homeland cannot be replaced.
Thank you, Mr. Shath. And Christopher, also Iran's leader today, Ayatollah Khamenei, he urged regional leaders to help support and alleviate the suffering we see today in Gaza. Do the same leaders, especially Arab and Muslim ones in the region who failed Palestinians throughout the genocide, step up now to help Gaza with reconstruction and against a hostile U.S. takeover?
Listen, at this point, we haven't seen a lot of movement except for words and feelings from many of the regional Arab leaders, especially those Arab leaders who have either normalized relations with the Zionist entity or continue to have good relations with the United States and other Western powers. The only powers that we've seen in the region are the Islamic Republic of Iran and other regional movements that have supported the Palestinian resistance and the Palestinian rights to nationhood. So I think that if the Trump plan goes forward and if the United States commits military troops on the ground, we might see an escalation. Of course, we do know from Amman that there has been talk among some of the political leadership, including the foreign minister, that this could escalate to war, that the existential crisis of millions of other Palestinians coming into Jordan, for example, would be catastrophic to the Hashemite kingdom, and that would lead it to war. The same is true, some are saying, for Egypt. And, of course, we hear that Trump is also proposing to create a Palestinian state in the Saudi desert. But as everyone, especially on this program, are emphasizing, the Palestinians will not leave, and the Palestinians will resist, just as the Afghan resistance resisted the United States, just as the Iraqi resistance resisted the United States, and has given the United States nothing but headache, blood, and failure. They have not achieved any victory in Afghanistan, in Iraq, anywhere. And so this will be another Afghanistan, Iraq, and Vietnam for the United States if they commit troops on the ground. And I think that a lot of the regional powers will have to finally make a decision if they are to stay on the side of the Zionists and the Americans and the Western powers, or if they are going to firmly commit. And if those governments don't commit, I foresee that the local populations, that the people of Jordan, the people of Egypt, and the people of the surrounding countries might overthrow their regimes that they see as complicit in the ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people and might try to take up arms themselves. We will see. But of course, the situation is teetering on a knife's edge at this point.
It sure is, Christopher. Thank you. We barely have time for one last question. Mr. Schott, I want to put it to you. We have to get your take on U.S. giving Israel all the heavy bombs it used in its annihilation of 80% of Gaza. And then you have Donald Trump saying, have you seen Gaza? No one deserves to live like that, as if some natural disaster caused the hardship in the situation we see in Gaza, as if his takeover of Gaza is a gesture of help for Palestinians. You can't make this stuff up, can you?
No, it's definitely all their crimes in history, from them taking over even the Americas against indigenous people. They covered it up with humanitarian issues when they brought the people, shipped them to the plantations, and when they biologically attacked them to get rid of the race. The same thing, he'd cover up what his their plans into the Gaza Strip with the humanitarian kind of issue. We haven't seen the United States of America shifted the people from Los Angeles or any American fire-ridden city to even different state, not even different countries. So he's expecting to be kinder to the Gazan people, quote unquote, than the Palestinian kinder to his own people. So all of this is cover up for the plans. And these plans, as my friend was saying, they'll be defeated. I want to remind you with one thing. In 1983, after the Israeli invasion and occupation of Lebanon, the American Marines, with one operation from the resistance, lost over 200 Marines and lost nearly 300 injured Marines from one attack. And this, 2 minutes later, the French as well lost nearly 55 from their army. And lots of injuries. Thus, the Americans and the French landed in Lebanon as victorious after the Israeli occupation. They didn't last in Lebanon a few days after that. They went on the run. In Gaza, another point, when they went to rescue four of prisoners using this port, which is made by their own ships and Coast Gentlemen. Biden, as he said, 300 millions. They invaded the Misrat refugee camps wearing as an Arabic clothes.
Mr. American Schott, forces. We have time constraints. I don't mean to cut you off. I know I'll let you get your last words in on our next program, but we do have time constraints.
No,
I'm sorry. Mr. Saeb Schott, they're joining us out of Belfast, and Christopher Hilali, they're joining us out of Vermont. It brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and bye-bye for now.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful And may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters And welcome to the series of Talks for Humanity This is Hamza Azizi Recently, in the last episode, we introduced a new issue within the topics that are related and connected to humanity. And that new issue and topic was the characteristics of a perfect human being, or let's say the true and ideal image of human beings. We said that we try to deduce this image out of the last verses of chapter Furqan, beginning with verse 63. Up to the end of the chapter. Before starting the issue, I have to remind you that the characteristics of this ideal human being is not confined to whatever is mentioned in this chapter. Rather, there are many other facts and points that are elaborated in other occasions of the Holy Book, including the history of prophets and other facts, theoretical facts that have been mentioned in other occasions, some of which we had elaborated previously in our talks. I'm sure you remember once we talked about the international instructions that have been given in the Holy Book, most of which was in chapter Isra, once we talked about them. That could be one part of the true image of human being. Also, in other episodes, we talked about other facts and issues. But this package that has been given in chapter Furqan could represent truly and gently the whole image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for human beings. So if there are other characteristics as well, those characteristics could be categorized under these 14 characteristics as well. So we can say these 14 characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in this chapter are a kind of comprehensive characteristics, kind of criteria for other characteristics as well. So that's why we decided to work on these characteristics at this point. The very first point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter began with is the issue of humility. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not use the terminology of other sciences or other disciplines. Now that we talk about human being, we talk about the concept of perfect human being. You know that perfect human being is a term borrowed from the discipline of mysticism or from Islamic philosophy in some sources. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran has its own terminology. And that is one of the beautiful aspects of the Holy Book. Let's elaborate on this point after a short break. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya muslimi sallu alayhi Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallu alayhi ya mu'minin Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi. I touched very briefly the very interesting point about the Holy Book. I said that Holy Quran does not follow, is not influenced, actually, by the terminology or by the culture of other disciplines, because it's completely a kind of new project, new work. It is not authored by a human being. It is the Word of God. So we cannot compare the Word of God with other words of human beings, no matter how much perfect is that discipline. For example, among the human sciences, among the social sciences, among the philosophical disciplines, there are many perfect good things. But the fact that they are very good, they are very beneficial, they are very interesting, does not necessarily mean that we can compare the Word of God with those contents. No. That is why even mysticism, which is one of the great and interesting disciplines that nowadays our scholars elaborate on that. Even philosophy, which specifically Islamic philosophy, which is elaborated by our great scholars, even these disciplines could not be compared to the Word and to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see that, as I said, perfect human being is a term borrowed from mysticism. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not use that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describing the characteristics of true human being, he starts with this term, Ibadur Rahman. Very interesting. Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the all beneficent. By this term, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the new profile. The book is going to elaborate the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman, it means true servants of the all-beneficent God. I mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give this message to us that whatever pleasure, whatever honor that you think for human being is nothing compared to the pleasure of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the one who comes to the level of prophethood, the one who becomes prophet, at the same time, the honor of being a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best honor, the best label. When you pray, when you want to testify the messengerhood, the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. He is a prophet. He is the best prophet among the prophets. He has reached the ultimate level of spirituality, the ultimate level that any human being can reach. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, the best honor for him, even for Muhammad, is that he is a servant. Abduhu is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describing the characteristics of true human beings, ideal image of human being, he starts with this title, Ibadur Rahman. They are the ones who have, the ones who fulfill these 14 elements, 14 characteristics. They are Ibadur Rahman. They are the servants of the all beneficent. That is very interesting. Inshallah, we will continue this issue in the next episode. Thank you. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Standing on my own, blessing me with
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. Islamic Revolution, Role Model for Resistance Current Against Arrogance. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. The victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979 has undoubtedly been a role model for resistance movements, especially in Muslim countries, which have stood firmly against the global arrogance. Before the Islamic Revolution, several liberating movements and revolutions had occurred, like the Algerian Revolution against the French colonialism, the struggles of the people of Vietnam against French and American colonialists, and the Indian people's struggles against Britain. But most of these movements were nationalistic and gained limited achievements. Some movements were shaped up in the Islamic world too. Among them, mention can be made of Ikhwan al-Muslimin in Egypt, which was staged against the colonial influence and internal despotism. Yet, these movements and revolutions were sporadic and lacked a strong and prevalent ideological background to act as bulwark against colonialism and the global arrogance symbolized by the U.S. The Islamic Revolution triumphed in 1979 in such conditions. This revolution was a turning point which caused liberating movements across the world to gather under one banner and ideal, namely, struggle against arrogance. Since the very beginning of the Islamic Revolution in early 1960s, Imam Khomeini raised the concept of mustaz'af, downtrodden, versus mustakbir, arrogant. This perception was totally based on the Quranic teachings. Therefore, his call soon transcended geographical borders and was accepted by all oppressed and downtrodden people across the world. Imam Khomeini's struggle went beyond merely national borders and turned the move into the confrontation of the domineered and domineering. This approach was clearly highlighted in the Imam's remarks. Once he said, "We say that as long as there is polytheism and unfaith, there is a struggle. And as long as there is a struggle, we are in the scene." The great feat of Imam Khomeini was to announce vociferously that his revolution is dependent neither on the West nor on the East. Some 19 months After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the United States and then Soviet Union imposed an all-out war against the Islamic Republic of Iran through their surrogate, Saddam Hussein of the Ba'ath minority regime in Iraq. The global arrogance led by the U.S. continued their generous support for the Iraqi dictator for 8 years to overthrow the Islamic Republic and destroy the Islamic Revolution. But the Iranian people, led by their unmatched leader, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, stood resolutely against the forces of Saddam and pushed them back from every inch of the country, despite the fact that at least 40 countries were backing Iraq in the war. This great victory was gained through the participation of the brave army, the valiant IRGC, and the devoted popular forces, Basij, who were mobilized under the divine guidance of Imam Khomeini. Once, Imam Khomeini said, "Safeguarding a country and deterrence of a country against the aggression of enemy is gained through resistance rather than submission. The 8-year imposed war proved that a nation, even if it is under the worst siege and sanctions, can stand against the armed-to-the-teeth enemy with relying on domestic capability and faith. This achievement breathed a new spirit to the nations which were fighting colonialism or were threatened by foreign powers. During the Holy Defense, 8-year imposed war, the Iranian nation made a strenuous effort and succeeded to make military and non-military equipment needed in various industries. Now, after 4 decades, Iran has turned from a mere importer to a manufacturer and an exporter of advanced drones, ships, aircraft, missiles, and defense systems. Thus, the Islamic Republic turned into a role model for liberating movements and freedom-seeking nations. That's why the ill-wishers and enemies have done their best to stop Iran's progress in different fields, including peaceful nuclear know-how." Concurrent with the stability of the thriving of the Islamic Revolution and the end of the imposed war in 1989, the thought of fighting global arrogance and resistance against oppression spread in the whole region of West Asia. In Lebanon, resistance took a new shape and managed to force the Israeli occupiers to withdraw. In Palestine, jihadi movements entered a new phase of a struggle against Israel with a fresh spirit. Imam Khomeini has mentioned the issue several times. For instance, he said, "Today, there are many in our region who consider themselves affiliated to the resistance front. Our people of resistance believe in resistance and do resist and gain the fruit in many cases too." One of the important aspects of the role of the Islamic Republic in formation of resistance front is the spiritual and diplomatic support for the oppressed nations. This support is not limited to statesmen and remarks. Iran has many times defended the defenseless nations and adopted stances against oppressive and bullying powers in the UN and international institutions. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been the greatest supporter of the cause of Palestine for the past 46 years. That's why the arrogant powers led by the U.S. have imposed the most ruthless and illegal sanctions against it. But these sanctions and pressures not only have not weakened Iran, but also they have made the Iranian nation and ruling system more resolute and determined in continuing the path of defending the weak and oppressed nations. As leader of the Islamic Revolution has said several times, the spirit of resistance has spread to the entire region, and nations have felt the sweet taste of steadfastness against the U.S. and its partners in crime. This has materialized through unity and emphasis on commonalities among nations and sects. This is the main cause of success and victory, and this is what the enemies, led by the U.S., are scared of.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The second phase of the revolution, February 11th, 2019. An important point that needs to be considered by those who build the future is that we are living in a country which is distinctive in terms of natural and human resources. Yet, many of these resources have been left untapped or only slightly exploited due to the negligence by the officials. Great endeavors, as well as revolutionary and youthful motivations, will be able to activate them, marking a real leap forward in the country's material and moral progress. The most important aspiring potential in the country is the potential and proficient human resource that enjoys a deep and noble foundation of faith and religion. The young population under 40, an important part of which is the result of a birth boom in the 80s, represents a valuable prospect for the country. Enjoying a population of 36 million people aged between 15 and 40, nearly 14 million people with higher education degrees, ranking the second in the world by the number of science and engineering graduates, numerous young individuals brought up with a revolutionary spirit and ready to work for the sake of God and for the love of their country, and large numbers of intellectual and investigating young individuals who are in the job of creating scientific, cultural, industrial, and other types of products add up to the enormous wealth of the country that cannot be compared to any material reserves.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
A In addition to the aforementioned assets, there is a long list of material opportunities for the country that can be activated and exploited by efficient, motivated, and intelligent managers in order to significantly increase domestic production and make the country self-sufficient, wealthy, and truly self-reliant, hence overcoming the current problems. Iran makes up 1% of the world population. However, it possesses 7% of the global natural resources, massive underground resources, special geographical position between East and the West, and the North and the South, a major national market, vast regional market including 15 neighbors that constitute a population of 600 million, long coastal borders, fertile lands with a great variety of agricultural products, and vast and versatile economy are only some of the country's potentials.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Thank you.